So I guess I just kind of wanted to kind of go over a little bit of kind of some of my past and kind of just see, what you thought in terms of I guess just where I am now and where I can go from now with, I guess, my past. So I guess I'll just kind of give you a little brief story of my past. So I grew up pretty normally. I didn't really have like a bad childhood by any means. I had actually a pretty great childhood, but I had some weird kind of situations with my father growing up where I was kicked out of the house when I was like probably 16 by him and his partner, which I guess you would be my stepmom now. From there, kind of things kind of got weird where I just had like a weird relationship with my dad for most of my life because of that. And we just never were really close. I ended up did moving back in with him probably like a couple years after that. But that kind of, I would just say, like kind of soiled our relationship. But we're actually a lot closer now in my life, but it just created a lot of just strain in our relationship, and as well as just like emotional turmoil in my own life, just of kind of the understanding of me and my dad. And then I would also say too, just in general too, before that even happened, my relationship with my dad was always very intense. He was always just very like judgmental of me and kind of like very harsh on everything kind of I was doing in life. And I would just say it like kind of created just a certain way in how I think about things, like maybe in how other people view me or how I even portray myself. I would say it definitely affected that a lot. And then also too, my brother, he was kind of the same way. Like he was very much so like branded in his image and was like this kind of perfectionist and kind of like the golden child in the family. And so I also just felt very criticalized by my brother as well too. And so that kind of added to the whole entire situation. That was kind of, I would say, like the main kind of one of the main traumatic experiences I had in my life that I feel like really affected me. And then another part too was around that same time, kind of, or a little bit before actually, when I was in middle school in like 8th grade, I had a friend that had moved from a different city, and I introduced him to all my friends, and we were like, pretty good friends. Basically he ended up fighting me in this is like the end of 8th grade, and for no reason just like beat the shit out of me at this like local park that I was hanging out with another friend of mine. And so the next day at school, he told everyone that he beat the shit out of me. And basically I watched like all of my friends, and these were people too, mind you, that I introduced him to and like helped him create friends with from being like out of towner. And I dealt with a lot of shit from that. I would say that was like another huge kind of traumatic experience in my life, where I watched a lot of friends of mine I'd realized weren't friends of mine, and like this sense of betrayal. And then also, of course, just like the trauma of like, being beat up by one of my friends for no reason. I would say those are kind of the two main points, but there's like some other things I can probably weave in there as we like talk a little bit more.
Weave away, I'm happy to hear.
Yeah. Let me think. I would say some other pretty traumatic stuff too is like I lived in LA for probably like 7 or 8 years, and when I lived out there, I definitely had some like weird situations happen to me. Currently now in my life, I'm completely sober, but at the time when I was living in LA, I was like definitely drinking quite a bit. I wasn't like necessarily like an alcoholic, but I was like partying and getting into mischief. And there was like a couple scenarios where like I was out and about drinking with friends and like got in some fights. And like I ended up getting in a fight once where I dislocated my radius and ulna and fractured my left cheek. There's also another night where I got really messed up and I ended up getting stabbed and I don't even remember it happening. There was another incident too. This was actually had nothing to do with drinking at all, but I lived in kind of a shifty area when I was living in LA at one point, and I was outside of my house and there was like a crazy schizophrenic homeless guy that was walking around. And he came up to me and my friend. We were waiting outside for another one of our friends to show up. And he basically like pulled up right in front of my face. Like he was right in my, in like all up in my business. And he was just like yelling all of this shit in my face. And then he had a knife like right at my stomach. And I basically had to like talk him out of it for a good probably 5 minutes or so, until he walked off. And that was pretty traumatic. And that was actually the like kicker of me like leaving LA, because I was like, I can't live in this city anymore. I would say those are probably a few other main kind of traumatic experiences of mine as well too.
And how long ago did you leave LA?
This was 3 years ago I left. So now I live in Orange County now. And I was living there from when I was 19 to like probably 26, 25.
Got it. Okay. Okay. And how can I best help you today?
I guess I kind of just wanted to go over all this stuff and kind of just see what you would think in terms of like the best way to, I guess, absolve, or not, that's not even the right way to put it. I would say, like, how would you recommend I, like, go forward as, like, getting rid of the trauma, or, like, finding how to be, like, a better self version of myself that kind of gets rid of some of those like programs that trauma puts on you.
Okay. All right. So why do you think you're so comfortable with violence?
I don't know. I would say I'm probably a bit desensitized to it.
Sorry, that's not a very long answer. I need you to dig in a little more.
I don't know, honestly.
All right. So I'm not sure how to have the conversation. If I ask you a question, you just say, I don't know. I mean, nobody else knows, right? I mean, you got into a lot of fights and you tore a radius and like just bad things, right? I mean, you got into some, I mean, seriously dangerous fights. I mean, you get brain damage, you get killed and, you know, this sort of stuff, right? And most people, at least a lot of people, try to like have a particular issue with violence, right? Like they try to avoid it. And I'm not saying you didn't try to avoid it or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, did the violence always happen to you, or were you a victim? Or, I mean, I'm, you know, my commitment was always, you know, protect the face, protect the brain, and try and talk your way out of things or avoid violent situations. And I grew up in a pretty rough neighborhood, a pretty sort of welfare poor neighborhood with some pretty sketchy people around. And I did manage to avoid violence, which I'm actually very sort of proud of. I know a lot of people are like, you never know who you really are until you're in a fight, you know, like this sort of Fight Club thing, which of course is was written by a guy who's probably never seen a fist fight in his whole life. But in general, I personally have tried to avoid violence, and I've been pretty successful at avoiding it when I was down in Australia for some speeches. You know, the communists were sort of outside the venue, and I went out and talked to them. Actually, it was raining, and I gave them an umbrella because, you know, I assumed that there's just a misunderstanding for the most part, right? Some people are pretty evil, but a lot of people are just kind of confused. But I guess that's what I'm trying to understand.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I would say, like, now in my life,
what your level
like,
of comfort with violence is, where it might come from.
Right.
I mean, I don't mean that you love violence, but you didn't avoid it successfully. And maybe it was completely impossible, sure. But probably not as often as you got involved, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Can you hear me, by the way? Can you hear me, by the way? Hello? Stefan?
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I got you.
Okay. I would say, like, honestly, at this point in my life, I am, like, the opposite, where I actually stay away from it. And I think I've learned that from being kind of an idiot when I was younger and I ran into those situations. The first scenario when I was younger, I was more or less jumped by my friend. I didn't run into the violence at all. But I would say, honestly, like, that situation maybe stemmed some of that, like, wanting to run into violence because I was so angered by, like, not having control of the situation. I'd say also maybe even getting kicked out of my dad's house even played a part in that too, because I felt angered and not having control in the situation. So I'd say when I was, like, in my, like, early 20s and I did get into these dumb situations, I definitely didn't try to keep myself safe or keep myself away from violence. And I think a lot of it stemmed from this anger that I hadn't controlled. And I think a lot of that anger stemmed from, like, a lot of those situations in my life. But I'd say, like, now in my life, because of some of those, like, situations and kind of, like, almost, like, realizations from some of those situations, I, like, now I'm, like, pretty opposite compared to that, where I, like, don't I try to stay away from violence as much as possible, in the way of that, like, you know, if someone pisses me off, I, like, try to more or less de-escalate my own mind, or you know, if someone's trying to stir shit, I try to, like, kind of stir it the opposite way and not dive into creating friction. But I think in my earlier, like, adolescence, I, like, definitely, like, jumped more into creating friction.
Okay, sorry, I gotta ask. So saying that you're not as much into violence now is fine, but that's not answering my question. Why do you think you're so comfortable with violence? I mean, how many fights did you get into?
Not really many. I would say, like, one or two.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. I thought it sounded like more. So sorry if I got that wrong. Okay. All right. So if it's only one or two, you said that, like, there's been a lot of trauma. And so, sorry, when you said that there's a lot of trauma, I thought maybe it was a whole bunch of fights. But so is the trauma from the one or two fights?
Well, I would say, like, the kind of the fights that I did get into, like the one where I tore my radius in ulna, I was defending a girl at I was at this club with a bunch of my friends, and we were leaving, and there was, like, a couple guys that were, like, yelling some fucked up shit at her. And in my kind of state when I was this age, I was, like, just very, like, I have to be, like, the Superman in the situation, and I was just an idiot. And so I started shit with them, like, asking them why they were yelling at her and saying that stuff to her. And then my friends got involved, and we essentially kind of wore them off. Like, we all, like, kind of met a punch with them each and pushed them off, and then they ran away. And then we were, like, walking back to our car, and then there was, like, the block down the street. They basically came around the corner, and they, like, kind of snuck up on us. And then I got hit in the face by one of the guys, and I fell to the ground, and my arm was on the ground, and then he hit me, and then that's when my arm that was on the ground got dislocated. But I would say, like, the me, like, getting enacted into those fights and being so comfortable with that violence, maybe it had to do with trauma from my adolescence. Like, I was, I don't know if you heard me say earlier, but I was talking about the kind of uncontrollability of those two situations, like with my dad and the friend who jumped me. It created, I think, this like anger in me. And I think I always kind of had this sense of anger in me as well. But I think that that kind of escalated it, where I had this sense of like, I don't have control. And so anger kind of made me feel like I had control in this sense, or like violence made me feel like I had control in this sense.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So why did your father kick you out? You were 16, right?
Yeah, I was 16. I was just kind of being an idiot. Like, I wasn't doing anything terrible. I was just like not doing super well in school. And I was like at a friend's house of mine a lot during that time. And I was smoking weed. And I wasn't making the best decisions, but I wasn't like, you know, being like a terrible kid by any means. I was just doing what most, I guess, 16-year-old kids would get into at the time. And he didn't like that. And him and my stepmom basically were like, get the fuck out of the house. And we got in this like huge debated argument. And I ended up moving out of the house, and I didn't live there for well over a year. And that was, I would say, the kind of catalyst to it. But there was like kind of in the argument when they were like kind of like going over some things, I kind of just like, I think, admitted a lot of stuff that I felt personally about both of them, that like I just didn't feel comfortable with them as living with them. They were like super judgmental and very harsh on me, and me kind of like bringing those things to light, they just didn't like that at all. And so it created this huge anger and argument against me. And then that's when they were like, get the fuck out of the house.
Okay. So, I mean, an argument isn't a reason to kick a kid out of the house, right?
Right.
So what's going on in the household where this is the approach?
I don't know.
Like why would they? I mean, it's incredibly dangerous to kick a young person out of the house, right?
Right.
I mean, where are you supposed to go? I mean, maybe you had friends or whatever, but I mean, do you end up homeless? Do you end up selling your body for food? Like, it's almost like a death threat to kick a kid out of the house, if that makes sense.
Right.
So, like, what the actual fuck? Like, help me understand how your family goes from we're having a strong disagreement to, like, you're dead to me, go die in the street.
Yeah, you know, I guess that would be a question for them, but...
No, but you know them. They're not here, right? So you got to give me your theories.
I appreciate
you trying to pull the, shucks, I don't know stuff, but, you know, I can only talk to you, so you know this family infinitely better than I do. So what the hell was going on?
I don't know. Basically,
right after I say you're the one who knows, you got to give me an answer. What do you say? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
you gotta shake off the cobwebs, right? We gotta dig in, man. Lock in, my daughter would say. you gotta shake off this sort of fog and these cobwebs. Like, what the hell was going on in your household? You have a disagreement with your parents, your mother, your stepmother, and your father. And they kick you out of the house for a year.
Yeah. And well, you know, the only reason that I even went back to go live with them is I didn't even want to go back after a year. I wanted to, because I was living with my mom at the time, and I was kind of living in between friends' houses. And
I'm so sorry. Can you repeat that for a second? I just lost you for a sec.
Yeah, so after the year went by, I actually didn't even really want to move back in with them at all. But I was living with my mom and in between friends' houses at the time. And I didn't even want to move back in with them. But he kind of begged me to come back and live with them, because he had just felt all of this remorse and just felt like, you know, he needed to recuperate the situation. And I just didn't want to at all, because I just knew that I would be going back into the same situation. And I was right, because when I ended up moving back with them, it was like the same shit, where it was like, basically my dad worked 24/7. He was never really home. And same with my stepmom. So I was always at the house alone. And then when they would come home, there was no dialogue or conversations or friendship. It was just like, you know, we're home from work, we're going to bed, we wake up for work the next morning. And then even if we were to talk, there was just so much like judgment of me and misunderstanding of me. And there was just no, like, I just didn't feel like there was any love or kind of familiarity in the house at all. And so I guess that goes back to kind of help answer your first question, is before they did kick me out, that existed even more so, where there was like no familiarity. There was no, we didn't really have a relationship at all. And so leading up to that, we just didn't have a good relationship at all. And when we did have that argument, the argument was kind of first pertaining to kind of how I was acting in my life, and then it turned into me expressing how I felt about them. And then once I expressed that, that's when they kicked me out. So the reason for why they did, I mean, I guess that they were really angered by me calling them out on their shit, because I think deep down that he and her knew like what our relationship was, but they're just not willing to get down into the nitty gritty and, you know, be like, okay, let's deal with this, or you're right. It's just, you know, and it's, I think my dad still is this way to this day, even though we have a better relationship. He's just the type of person where if you tell him the truth or something that's like how you feel about something, it just met with anger. And I think that's even connected to talking about anger and violence, is like where my anger kind of was learned or comes from, is like comes from him in that way, I would say.
Okay, so then I'm a little confused, if you can clear this up for me, because you said that your childhood was pretty good. Are you saying father did not have a bad temper when he was younger, but became sort of viciously angry as he aged, or something like that?
Well, I just say it was good in the sense that it, like, in the traditional sense, like, I didn't, you know, grow up in like a shitty area. I went to good schools. I had, like, you know, a good foundation. I didn't grow up with like a terrible childhood, but I would say in terms of like family life and stuff like that, it wasn't good. But I guess I meant more
In terms of your family life wasn't good.
That my family life wasn't good. Yeah,
I mean,
like, you know,
family life, isn't it? It's not like you've got a bunch of other influences for the most part.
No, it's true. I guess it's just more or less to like give, it's just sometimes feels like when you talk about, the shit in your childhood or the shit in your life, that it's like good to give gratitude to the things that were good and that did exist, which is like, I think that like, I didn't have an absolutely terrible childhood, but there were definitely some bad parts in terms of like my family, but just in terms of the quality of life, you know, I didn't have a terrible, terrible childhood.
Okay, got it. All right, and how can I best help you in the present?
I guess, like, I think I've let go of a lot of the trauma and like have worked on a lot of the things from those scenarios in my life. Like, I think for a while I held on to a lot of anger and resentment, and I just felt like a lot of inner stuff that I've definitely worked through a lot of it, but I guess just like now in my life, I'm like, you know, I'm almost 30, and you know, pretty soon I want to marry a woman eventually and have children eventually. And when I do get to that point, I don't want to, you know, bring that trauma into that life, but also just even in my own life too. It's like, how do I resolve these traumas in the best way?
Okay, how has your dating life been over the last 10, 15 years?
I'd say it's been pretty good. It's had its ups and downs. I would say like in my earlier 20s when I was living in LA, like I definitely went through a lot of shit as everyone in their early 20s does. I worked in the fashion industry for probably 5 years, 6 years when I lived out in LA. And I had some like weird scenarios with roommates where like the first roommate I moved in with out there, he fucked me pretty hard financially, where he owed me a lot of money for past due rents and bills and stuff like that. And I just kept on kind of like being like, okay, you know, you'll pay me back. And he would pay back a portion of it, and then he'd pay back a little bit more. And then eventually it just stacked up and I had to kick him out of the house. And I had some weird scenarios with that. And then I would say in my, I had like a couple scenarios like that too, living in LA, where I just had some like weird roommate scenarios and definitely just weren't the best situations. And I had like a couple weird work situations too. Like when I was working in the fashion industry, I had a really like gnarly intense boss that was like, you know, would like yell at me on the daily. And, in my current life and like the past few years, it's definitely been a lot better. I'd say like living in LA, there was just like a lot of craziness all over the board, whether it be like my jobs or like the fight situations or like the like possible stat, like almost getting stabbed and like all of that. Like living in LA was definitely like a net kind of negative. Like I had a bunch of amazing experiences in LA, learned a ton, had a lot of career opportunities and had a bunch of great friends, but there was just a lot of like shit that happened when I lived in LA. But in my past few years now living down here in Orange County, it's definitely like gotten better. The job I'm working at right now, I work for a skincare brand doing sales, and it's, you know, it's been really nice. Like for the first, like probably year and a half, I had a really great experience there. And, you know, I like my boss, I like my colleagues. And, but there was like one coworker that I worked with that just hated me. And like every single day she'd come into work and it was just like, wouldn't even talk to me, and was like just a very toxic work relationship. And so I kind of put that on the back burner for a while, where I just was like, I'm not even going to put any energy into this, and I'm just going to like be my best self. And then fast forward now, we actually have a good work relationship together. And, but it just seems like there's always like some like new situation that arises in my life where it's like I resolve the relationship that I have with her, but then it's like it goes to the next person where it's like maybe someone that I like got along with before. It's like now it's like I have some weird work relationship with them, or like, and I just feel like my life just feels like it's like one like weird relationship to the next. And it's like, it seems like when I resolve one, it's like another door opens for another work relationship to kind of become, where now I had the boss that I originally had at this job. We had a really good relationship for the first like year and a half. And then towards the end, it just started to get really weird, where she she had been working for the company for 10 years. So she was like at her end, and she was just like not really doing much. She was like not really managing our team very much. So, and so our whole team kind of like went against her, and it just got really toxic at work, where like we'd come in and she would just like not talk to us all day, and she would just like fuck off all day and like go and walk around. And so we ended up like having all a meeting with our regional branch manager, and they basically like ousted her out. And when she left, it felt like this like big like kind of change, where everything was like changing for the good. And like I had a really good work relationship with everyone, and that was actually what resolved the relationship I had with that girl originally. Is like I felt like our manager was kind of gatekeeping us from having a good relationship, because I brought up all these things to her about my relationship with the one coworker, and she just like never did anything about it or helped resolve it and just kind of let it be. So then once she left, we were actually able to like resolve it just between both of ourselves, because then I think it was really through kind of trauma bonding of like the work situation with our manager. We like would kind of start talking about the situation and thus both of the situations that we both had with her, and then from there we kind of slowly but surely became friends, and now it's to the point
you
where
don't,
it's
you
like,
don't remember the question anymore, do you? Sorry to be annoying.
No, you're fine.
Do you remember my question?
It was, how is your life in the last 5 years?
Dating life.
Oh, I didn't hear that. I thought you just said life.
No, that's fine. I mean, but your life, so the minutiae of conflicts with coworkers is probably not where the most progress is to be made, which is fine. And I'm sorry if I was unclear. So,
no, you're fine.
So dating life.
Yeah, dating life. The last 5 years, last year I was in probably the longest relationship I've been in my life. I was with a girl for a year, and it was the best relationship I ever had. Like we were completely in love, and we worked really close to each other. That's how we met. She worked like a few stores down from me, and she basically would come into my store, I'd come into hers, and we kind of slowly became friends. And then we started dating. It was like, it seemed like this. We just kind of started getting into the relationship. Like there wasn't really much of a bridge that I guess would naturally happen with a relationship, where you like start dating and then it's like the question gets popped. It was like we just kind of instantly jumped into a relationship. And we were just like madly in love with each other. And we had a really good relationship. We dated for a year, but where things went south was the kind of ticking time bomb of the whole relationship was like the whole time we were together, we knew that she was eventually going to move, because she was just working part-time at this job, and she... her like end goal was to get her master's for biomed. So basically she kind of always had this inner part of herself that like knew that we were eventually probably going to split, or at least if we didn't split, there'd be like a long term or like a long distance relationship that would be formed because of it. And so towards kind of the end, she lived with her aunt and uncle, and her aunt and uncle just didn't like me at all. And they were always kind of like in the back of her mind, like trying to kind of get her to leave me. And I think the big reason was, it was like partially because they didn't like me, but I think a big reason too is like they felt like I was pulling her away from that goal, which was like getting her master's, because she was just here for a short time, and eventually she would move to school that she was going to in Arizona, or at least the school that she was wishing to get into. And she wasn't originally from here, she was originally from Washington. So either way, it was like,
yeah, if you don't have to go into all of the places and all of that. So yeah, just so she's going to leave.
Yeah, so she's going to leave.
When did you find that out?
Pretty early on in the relationship. Like, I knew that she'd be moving because she was just here for the time being. So yeah.
Okay, so you knew pretty early on that she was going to be leaving the region, right?
Mm-hmm.
And why didn't she love you enough to stay, do you think? Or you love her enough to leave with her?
I think for her, she had so much attached to her career. And I think a big part of it was because of her family, where...
No, sorry. I understand that. I understand that. I mean, of course she was attached to her career, but why didn't you follow her if she wants to go and do this? And what's the, how old is she?
She was a little bit younger than me. So I was 25 at the time when we started dating and she was 23.
Okay. And she wanted to have a career in the sciences, is that right?
Yes.
So did you want to, is having a family, like having kids, is that more of a recent thing?
I would say so. I mean, I've always wanted that, but I'd say I've been more serious about it recently. And especially with her as well, too. We seriously talked about that.
You seriously talked about having kids, but if she's going to go do a master's and start a career in the sciences, how is she going to have kids? I mean, at least in terms of raising them, she'd what you'd put them in daycare or something?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we didn't think that far ahead.
Okay, so you went into this relationship, and sorry if I've misunderstood something, please set me straight, of course. You went into this relationship knowing it was going to be temporary.
No.
Okay, so you went in thinking either she would stay or you would move, or you would both stay. Is that right?
I mean, as we went on through our relationship, we talked about the possibility of her either staying or me either moving with her. Uh-huh. But as it got closer, because I guess the main kind of conversation that I'd have with her is the main school she wanted to go to in Arizona. I had no purpose of being in Arizona. There's no work for me there. It's not a place that I'm really interested in living at all. And I told her, if push came to shove, I would probably still move with you there if it came down to it. But the kind of conversation that I'd have with her is pushing her towards finding a different school that she'd want to go to. So then it would work for the both of us. So then we can move to a place that would work for me and then somewhere that she can repivot.
Okay. So what happened at the end? Why are you not together?
So yeah, so that's, I guess, why I was going through all of the tangents of our relationship, because I kind of wanted to give you clarity on that. Is her aunt and uncle essentially played a big influence in her life, where she I think even more so with her career, that I think there was part of her that had her heart in the career, but I think her aunt and uncle more drove the car metaphorically of her doing that as her career choice. And so with that being said, her grandparents were the ones who funded her college. So that's why she moved out here from Washington, as she was first finished college out here. And so when we met, she had just graduated and she was just working a part-time job kind of in her almost a gap year, if you will. So towards the kind of end of the relationship, her aunt and uncle had basically told her grandparents that I'm kind of stunting her from doing school and getting her master's, which wasn't true. But with that conversation that they had with her grandparents, they were like, okay, we're gonna create some ultimatum for her. So they had a meeting
Okay, could you do me a favor, stay off names and places, please? This is a public call, right?
Sure.
Yeah, thank you. Just call her Sally. Okay.
So basically, she had a meeting with her grandparents, and her grandparents gave her the ultimatum to tell her that if she doesn't break up with me, that they're not going to fund her college anymore. So,
and I'm sorry, do we, do you know what their objections were to you?
Her grandparents?
Yeah.
Well, her grandparents didn't have any objections to me personally. I actually met her grandparents. I went to go visit them in Washington with her.
Oh, so it wasn't you, but personally. They just wanted to make sure she could go to do her schooling, her master's degree, and you were in the way, or at least they perceived. So yes. It wasn't personal to you, is that right?
Exactly. And it was okay, it was so more personal.
Sorry to interrupt. I just you know, we've been talking for almost 50 minutes, right? I can't do all the minutiae because we got to get to actually helping you. So the grandparents said, you have to break up with your boyfriend or we're not going to fund your education.
Yes.
Okay, got it. See, I just need the shortened version, if you don't mind. Sorry to be annoying, but I just need the shortened version. Okay, and gotcha. Then she said, I would rather take my grandparents' money than be with you.
Yeah, I would say that would be like in layman's terms, but I think more or less it's like she was very much so influenced by the fact that they also like carried her life, where if she were to like say, hey, I'm just gonna go with him, then it scared her a lot also in terms of that her aunt and uncle and her grandparents are the ones who, you know, kept her fed and had that she lived with her aunt and uncle. And so
she would lose more than just the money for school. She would also lose her room and board.
Exactly.
Okay, so they threatened her with being cut off financially if she continued to date you.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm sorry, that's just a horrible thing to do, by the way. It's a horrible thing to do. Okay.
Yeah, and they weren't so the best.
How long
people.
And you guys were together for a year, and when did that end?
This ended last spring.
Okay, sorry, I thought you were 30 and I thought you got together at 24. Sorry, what, I'm missing the math here?
No, I was saying I'm almost 30. So I'm 28 okay. now.
Okay, but if you were together for a year and you got together at 24 and it ended 25. Last year, 25, 26, 27. Okay, so, okay, got it. All right. And so is that's your major relationship, right? And what's your body count as a whole?
Like in terms of relationships?
No, sexual partners.
I don't know. I've never counted it, but I would say probably 10 or less.
Okay. And in terms of longer term relationships, how many?
Probably like 3.
Okay. And what is your relationship like with your, I haven't heard much about your mother. You got a stepmother and your father.
Yeah, so me and my mom have a good relationship, and that was like who I went and lived with, who after I was kicked out of my dad's house. So she's like kind of the only one in my family that I have like a relationship with, I would say.
Okay, got it. And so you don't talk to your dad or text with him, is that right?
We talk briefly. We don't talk very often, but when we do talk, like I had a phone call with him recently, like probably couple months ago, but we don't talk very often now.
Okay, got it. I'm sorry about that. It's quite sad. And your stepmom, obviously, not close to her, right?
No, we don't talk at all.
Okay. And how old were you, sorry, when your parents got divorced?
I was probably like 8, 7.
And why did they get divorced that you know of?
They just fell out of love. So essentially, I used to live in the Bay Area, and we moved to Southern California, and we moved because of my health. When I was born in the Bay Area, I was born into a house with a bunch of mold, and so I had like quite bad asthma, and I was hospitalized because of it, because of the mold and my asthma. And so in the town that I lived in the Bay Area, it was like super dry, and my allergens were like more extremified. And so we moved from Northern California to Southern California because of my health. But I think also like a portion of it too had to do with the relationship, but they don't really talk about that part of it. Or at least they don't admit it. And then when we moved to Southern California, pretty shortly after we moved here, they got divorced. And it was just because they were just not in love with each other anymore and they couldn't.
No, but that's not an answer, right? I mean, what did they, my formulation of love is it's our emotional response to virtue if we're virtuous. So in general, falling out of love means one person is acting badly, if that makes sense.
Sure. So I would say,
is that the case?
I would say the relationship, to kind of explain the end of it, was my dad was working a lot and my mom wasn't working and she was like a stay-at-home mom. And I think that my mom just was, she stopped sleeping in bed with him and she slept in a different room. And I think she just kind of consciously made a decision that she wanted to be single. And so I think it was more or less my mom, is my mom's fault for sure.
Okay. All right. Okay. So what is it that you most want to fix? Is it love, work, something else?
I would say, like, in terms of, like, what I was talking about with work and, like, relationships, just, like, tying that to everything, like, I just want to have better relationships with people, whether it be, like, you know, my future girlfriend or work partners. I think that's kind of a whole...
Because you sound down to me. You sound kind of depressed.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason I'm saying that is you have a kind of weightedness to your voice, and it's just kind of... negative. There's no particular pep or animation. Like when you said you were in sales, I was a little surprised because salespeople are normally kind of peppy. You know what I mean? Like you're kind of up.
Yeah.
And so on. And so there's a weight or a heaviness to your way of communicating. And again, I know this is a bit of an unusual kind of venue for talking, but does that kind of, do you feel kind of down or depressed, or is that just maybe a vocal habit that I'm misreading?
I would say I'm kind of sick right now, so that kind of plays into a role of it. But I would say also, too, just like the stuff that we're talking about, it just kind of puts me in that kind of negative headspace. But in general, in my workspace and in sales, I'm very much so the opposite. I wouldn't say I'm peppy, because I think that's kind of like a fake sales type of person's energy. But I would say I have more of like a energetic response to my work environment.
Okay, so give me a little bit of your sales voice just so I can understand the difference. If you were selling me something or a pitch that you'd be making, I mean, how would you sound?
Yeah, so I work for a brand called Aesop. We're an Australian skincare brand that started in 1987. We originally were a hair salon, but our founder, who was a hairdresser, he wanted to create a hair product that was utilized with essential oils, more used for their efficacious reasons than their natural benefits. So we like to call it like an incidental fragrance, where the natural scent of it is more or less kind of a secondary thing. And the ingredients are more used for their efficacious purposes. So whether they're like soothing, calming, hydrating, that's kind of the story of our brand. But if someone were to come in the store, I would usually greet them and say, how are they doing? Have kind of a...
Oh, sorry, so you work basic... you work in the store. Sorry to interrupt. You work in the store, is that right?
Yeah.
Like in a mall or?
It's in a shop, like an outdoor shopping center.
So you work retail?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Okay, I think I understand. And I'm still, you know, we're rounding an hour, and I'm still trying to understand how I can best help you. So saying I want to improve my relationships is kind of vague.
Sure.
And so how would you say, I mean, if you're working retail and you're pushing 30, how would you say your career is going?
I would say it's not in my favor, but I've been making a lot of changes in my life to have the future that I do want. So I'm actually, right after I get off this call with you, I'm taking a test that will help me get into an art school that I want to get into. I took actually my first one on Monday and I passed all three of them. And then I'm taking another one today. So if I pass the two today, then I'll be able to get into these art schools. Design, like graphic design.
I mean, isn't AI just kind of eating that right up?
Partially, but it's I would say more in a sector that it's not utilized in. But yeah, I would say AI is definitely taking a part of that for sure.
And how long is art school?
The school that I'm looking into, it's a 2-year, but I plan on going for 4 years. So probably go to like one for two and then probably jump to another one for another two.
Oh yeah. So you can't get married, right?
Not at this point, no.
I mean, won't be for years, right? Because you'll be in school for 4 years, which means your income is down and your expenses are up. And then after you graduate at the age of 31 or 32 or 33, maybe, then you're going to have to start establishing your career. And so you're not going to really start earning much money for like 8 to 10 years, right?
Right.
So, I mean, if you want a woman your age, she's not going to want to date you, right? If she wants kids.
Sure.
Sorry, you sound like you don't believe me. That's totally fine. What do you think?
I think that there's like truth to that.
Sorry, I mean, if your life plan is to not make much money for 8+ years, and you're already 20, you're close to 30, then you'll be close to 40 before you start making any real money, right?
Sure.
Sorry, you keep saying sure like I'm not right about that. If I'm wrong, just let me know.
No. I agree with you.
Okay, so you have to ask yourself, right, what a woman that you want wants. So you want a woman who wants to have kids, and I think, if I understand it correctly, you want a woman who wants to have kids and stay home with them, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, either you're paying for someone to stay home with the kids or you're paying for a bunch of daycare and extra expenses and it doesn't really end up making any money.
Sure.
So if you go back to school and then you hope that in 4 years, AI hasn't completely eaten up your industry because AI is moving ahead crazy fast. So if you're looking at not really making any money for close to a decade, then you're going to end up having to date someone much younger or not have a family. Because if you're only making real money in your late 30s or even mid to late 30s, then if you start dating a woman who's in her mid to late 30s, you're not going to have any time to have kids really, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm not sure how you're responding to this because this seems like quite important information and you're responding to it like I just told you something unimportant. And if it is unimportant, then, you know, let me know and we can talk about something else.
No, I don't think that it's unimportant. I just think that it's obviously, you know, dark information. It's not something that's very bright. So I'm not going to have like a happy response to it, right?
No, I get that. I'm just not sure what the response is because I'm not getting any emotion.
I was just saying, did you hear I said, mm-hmm?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's very neutral, right? As opposed to, oh my God, this is terrible news or something like that, right?
Right. Well, I'm just trying to listen to you as you're speaking without interrupting you.
Okay. I wasn't asking you to interrupt me. I sort of have to navigate my conversation by how it's affecting you. And if I'm getting very neutral, mm-hmm, then I don't know if the information is useful or not useful because it's very guarded, right? Like mm-hmm. If I said, hey man, you just won the lottery, you just won $10 million, you wouldn't say, mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, if I said your best friend just died, you wouldn't say, mm-hmm. So again, because we're not in the same room, I can't see you, which is just the way that these conversations generally tend to work. I'm just trying to navigate as to whether the information is useful or helpful at all. And I mean, it's dark, I suppose, but you haven't committed to art school. And so if you change your mind about that, that's way better than the alternative, right? Like if you were about to go scuba diving and I said, there are sharks in the water, like dangerous man-eating sharks. I mean, it would be better not to go in the water. You might be a little disappointed about not being able to go scuba diving, but you'd probably be a little bit happier about not being eaten. So, So if you are willing to postpone marriage for a long time, then art school is fine. Do you know roughly how much it's going to cost you in terms of the cost of books, the cost of the courses themselves, and how much income you're going to have to give up to go to school for 4 years?
Yeah, it's not that expensive of a school, luckily. I was originally, so when I was living in Los Angeles, there was another design school that I was looking at going to. but it was just too expensive, so I ended up foregoing it. It was like something crazy, like, you know, $50,000 a year, which I obviously can't afford. So I started traveling to Europe the past few years. So I've spent a lot of time in Germany and Croatia. And in my travels, I found some pretty cool art schools out there. And there's particularly this one in Amsterdam that I've been looking at, not only because of the design courses that it offers, but also because the services that it provides for like American students. And it's just a lot easier to be able to get into as a non-European student. And also there's like programs where there's English speaking students there and English speaking teachers, but also the school is quite affordable. It's like 2,300 euros per like trimester or semester or whatnot. So it's something that I can definitely, comparatively to the other art school, I can probably afford.
But you can't work in Amsterdam, can you?
Yeah. So the company I work for, they have some companies that are based out there. And so I could probably be able to get a job out there at one of the storefronts there.
Legally, would you be able to work? Like, you'd have a tax ID and all of that sort of stuff?
Yeah. So they would give me like a worker visa.
Oh, cool. So you can, because a lot of times, I'm not any kind of expert in this, but a lot of times if you go for school, you're not usually allowed to work sometimes. I mean, in some places. So you would go out, you would give up your current living situation. You would go out to Amsterdam and you would get a job in Amsterdam and you would go to school in Amsterdam for a couple of years, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. All right. That's kind of cool. And would you make more or less money or about the same as you're making now?
You know, I don't know because the currency is much different over there. But I probably would just be making less in general because I'd probably be working less hours, putting into consideration the amount of time that I'd have to be putting in my work. So probably less money, but it's a good question because I don't know the like currency rate and the pay standards over there compared to over here.
Yeah, and of course, some stuff might be cheaper in terms of healthcare and so on. Okay, so would you go down from like 40 hours a week to 20 hours a week? Would you cut your pay in half or what would go on while you were in school?
Yeah, probably something like that, probably like in half because I'm working about 40 hours a week right now. So it'd probably go to probably about 20 just compared to the amount of time that I'd have to be putting into school.
Right, so if you're going, and you don't have to tell me your salary, of course, I'm just making up some numbers here. So yeah, if you're going from 40K a year to 20K a year over 4 years, that's 80K in opportunity cost, right? Because if you're working full-time, you'd have $80,000 more because you're losing $20,000 a year for 4 years. So you're down 80K, you know, plus maybe the living expenses are more. But then, you also have the cost of the school itself. So probably it's costing you 100K, give or take, to do the school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just double checking on that. And so then when you graduate, you have to, of course, the only way that makes sense is, of course, if you can go, let's say, from 40K to 60K after you graduate, then you make that 100K back in 5 years. I mean, more, obviously, because of taxes and so on, but, you know, just looking at the rough numbers. So how much more, like what percentage more of your current salary do you think you'll make as a graphics designer?
Well, it would probably be less amount. It wouldn't probably be around $100,000 because I think you mistaken the price per year. It was 2,300, not 23,000.
No. I'm talking about the opportunity cost. So if you go from full time to part time, that's why I said if you're making 40,000 now at 40 hours a week, and then you go to 20 hours a week, then you're losing $20,000 a year. Because
right.
You're working part-time rather than full-time. And then times 4 years of working part-time, that's four times 20,000, that's 80,000. And then I would put in another 10 to 20K over the 4 years as a bare minimum for your education, probably be more, but let's be conservative. That's where I got the 100K from, not just the cost of the school.
Okay, gotcha. Sorry, what was the question again?
Well, I mean, So what percentage additional income will you be making after you complete this education as opposed to what you're making now? So if you went from 40 to 60, right, you'd be making 50% more.
Right. Well, the goal is after college that I hopefully have like, because the goal isn't like to work for some company or brand. I want to be more like take more of an entrepreneur route. So hopefully by the time I graduate, I have already some sort of business set up. Like I don't plan on going to college like a lot of students do and get out and then like looking for work. Like I already plan on working in some sort of regard from the practice that I'm learning while
So you'd start your own company after you leave school?
Not even leave school, but while I'm in school is my plan.
While you're in school, okay. So the challenge then, of course, is that usually you need some money to start a business. I mean, I started a business with about 80K back in the day. I'm not saying you'd need that because I guess you can work from home and so on. But, you know, you've known enough in the business world. You've done sales. Like, you need sales. You need marketing. You need customers. You need contacts. You need a website. You need, maybe some office space. Who knows, right? But
right.
It also means that you're putting yourself in a low income situation for a while. I mean, one of the reasons why people go and get a job with someone else after they graduate is they can immediately start making money. Whereas if you're doing the entrepreneurial route, usually you're losing money for the first little while. And then hopefully, of course, you make more money later, but it's a real gamble, right?
Right.
And also in your, in your sort of early to mid 30s, you are competing with, you know, people who are 20, 22 on the latest technology and so on. And I'm just, that doesn't mean it's impossible. That just means that, I mean, you have some additional wisdom and experience, which is good, but you will be competing. And of course, because it's digital, you're competing not just with people in the neighborhood, you're competing with the entire planet, right? I mean, if you're a plumber, you're not competing with a plumber from India, but if you're doing anything digitally and you're competing with the entire world. And again, that doesn't mean it's impossible, but it's a challenge. And I think, and that's totally fine. I'm not trying to say what you should or shouldn't do. I don't know. I'm just trying to give you the cost benefits. I've been an entrepreneur for like 30 years. So I think I know a little bit about this. It doesn't mean I'm right. I'm just telling you things to be considered or to be aware of, which is, it's going to delay even more education, right? No, sorry, marriage, because you're getting educated. And then I assume that the business contacts that you would mostly set up would be somewhat local to Holland or something like that. I went out to Amsterdam years ago for a speech at the Next Web conference. It's quite a lovely town. So either your contacts would be local, in which case you're kind of stuck in Amsterdam, and then you got to figure out how to live there and, you know, get the equivalent of the green card or whatever happens over there, which is a challenge. Or you come back to the States, in which case your experience and your contacts are in Europe, and then that's sort of less valuable. Again, you can work digitally, and I get all of that, but you would probably be delaying, almost certainly you would be delaying marriage prospects for quite some time.
Sure.
And again, I'm not trying to tell you what to do. Obviously, I couldn't, but it's important to know the cost benefits. Because if you're saying, I want a quality relationship, and you're pushing 30, and you're looking at deferring income for many years, then that's going to delay you getting the kind of relationship where you have a wife and kids, because a wife and kids take money. And if you're not making any money, then you can't have the wife and kids. Unless, you know, maybe your wife is independently wealthy and so on, but that's very much a lottery win, if that makes sense.
Right. Totally.
Okay. All right. So you're going to have to adjust your expectations on dating if you're going to be a half decade plus with low to negative income, and maybe just low income, again, if you're working part-time, if that all works out. I mean, if you're working in Holland, wouldn't you have to speak Dutch or something?
So that's the thing that's really nice about that, and that's what really attracted me to this school, is that they have a program for non-European students, specifically American students. So there's a English-speaking students and English-speaking teachers at this school. And also Amsterdam in general, it's actually mainly English-spoken. Everyone speaks English there. And I would also just learn Dutch in general. Like, I wouldn't just go there and be like, you know, a transplant and just only speak English. Like, I would still learn Dutch, but it's not a necessity.
Well, I mean, I obviously can't speak for people who work in Holland, but I would assume that there are and they also speak Dutch.
Can you hear me? I think you cut out. Your audio cut out, Stefan.
Are we still on?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
I'm having some problems.
I think you cut out again.
Oh, sorry about that. I think we're back.
All good. I can hear you now.
There we go. You're back. Sorry. Yeah, so that's sort of my question about sort of it's better. I think it's easier for them to just hire people who already speak the language. And again, maybe there's some program there. It's just I don't have the answers to these things, of course, right? But it's just something to be aware of and
well,
to
look at. I don't plan on creating my business out there. I just more or less the plan is to go to school out there and then bring the expertise back here to the, or, you know, really wherever I plan to go after. I don't have like a plan after that where I'm going to move, but I've spent quite a lot of time in Berlin, and Berlin's also similar in that same way where it's English spoken, and there's like kind of people from all over the world that live there, and there's a huge design bubble there. And this isn't my plan, but let's just say that I were to graduate from Amsterdam and move my business to Berlin, which is something that I would like to do, or even say I just move back here to LA or Orange County to bring the business back here. And so the plan isn't to keep it in Amsterdam, more or less, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but there isn't. I thought you were talking about starting a business while you were still a student. So that would have to be in Amsterdam, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be more or less on the internet. So it'd be like creating like social media for these things and creating contacts through the internet. These contacts can come from all over.
Okay, got it. All right, so it sounds like you've got your educational stuff sorted and your business stuff sorted. And as far as relationships go, I mean, you're not going to be able to settle down for the foreseeable future. I mean, from 20 to 40, like 10 years is kind of half your adult life. So if you're going to go to education and then build a business, you're going to be unable, probably, again, things could change, who knows, right? But you're probably going to be unable to provide for a family for 8 years at least.
Right.
And I mean, again, can't tell you what to do, but it's just important to know what variables are in play, if that makes sense.
Totally.
All right. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that covers it.
Fantastic. All right. Well, listen, I really do appreciate the call, and definitely, you know, get a spreadsheet, figure out what's going to cost you, figure out what the approaches are, and just recognize that, you know, everything in life, you know, have their costs and benefits, right? They have their costs and benefits. And it's really important in life not to just put one foot in front of the other. Like, I was hiking in a really steep hike with some friends recently, and because it was so steep, I didn't actually really enjoy the view. Why? Because it's steep and rocky, so all you're doing is looking right down in front of you, and it's this like scrolling waterfall of branches and tree roots and rocks and mud and so on, right? And I remember saying, you know, it's not actually that great a hike because all you're doing is looking at one foot in front of you rather than enjoying the view. And we all get sucked into looking one foot in front of us, like all the time, like day to day, got this problem. And it's and so I'm the big one for like, let's take the hot air balloon ride over your life and see the choices and consequences and their effects in the long run. And I need that feedback as well as everybody else, because I have my problems during the day, and it's very easy to get consumed by the sort of minutiae of the day-to-day and not look at the big picture stuff. If you were my son, I would, you know, really sit down with you and say, okay, is this really a plan? Like, what percentage of design work is being eaten by AI? Let's look at how good AI has gotten over the last 5 years, and let's project that forward. It may even accelerate. I mean, Elon Musk is putting data centers in space to further facilitate AI, because AI now is currently limited by the need for heat venting and water cooling and so on, whereas in space they have permanent sunlight and they can just vent all of the heat into space. It does no harm at all. And so if we assume that even with the current trajectory, and I think it's only going to increase, how good is AI going to be. And the leaps that it's made over the last 5 years are huge. And I assume that the leaps it's going to make over the next 5 years are the same, if not even more. And I think I would do the research into what has happened to the salaries of people in the design field. This information is usually pretty easy to available. Ironically, you could even ask AI. But I would look at the salaries, average salaries of design workers in your neck of the woods over the last 10 years and 5 years, and ask AI to take those trends and project them forward and so on. Because, yeah, the last thing you want to do is, you know, burn up half a decade in education and starting a business to then find out that it's not a very viable business because AI is doing a bunch of stuff. And the other thing, of course, which is the other thing I would mention with regards to this plan, is that there are going to be way fewer quality women around in your mid to late 30s than there are now.
Right.
It's like going to the garage sale on the last 5 minutes. Like, the good stuff's all gone. And, you know, again, maybe you'll find some gem. I remember picking up for 50 cents a tape of John Anderson's solo album Animation, which I quite liked and hadn't heard for a long time. Nobody else cared. I just happened to be a gem for me. But you have to recognize, of course, that the longer that you delay settling down, the fewer quality women will be around, because the quality women, they're like, you know, really great used cars. They don't tend to end up on the market, because the really quality women, men marry them and make them happy, and they make their men happy, and they don't end up back on the dating market. So the problem is, of course, that instead of there being, you know, 20 women that you can choose from or 10 women you can choose from, there may not even be one. And that's another cost that you're going to accrue. The longer you take to settle down, the fewer quality women are available. And I did, you know, I did, and my wife did, we happened to win the lottery in our early 30s due to a variety of circumstances, but that's not something that I would recommend as a plan. So that's the other hidden cost as well. Is that also, if you want to have a bunch of kids, let's say you want to have 2 kids, 3 kids, 4 kids or whatever, and in my view, the more the merrier, then as you start to get into your mid to late 30s, you either have to marry quite a bit younger, or you have to give up having a bunch of kids, because your wife's just going to be older and just not going to have the carrying capacity for a bunch of kids. And of course, if you marry younger, you know, you don't know if you're going to have all your hair. You don't know if, you know, you might get a bit of middle age spread. You don't know how your skin is going to look in your mid to late 30s. And so you're going to be less attractive to a woman in her 20s if you're 10 years older. And one of the ways that men make up for being less attractive at 38 than at 28 is they have a lot of money. And that's one of the reasons why women might overlook that. But if you end up, you know, without having settled down in your mid to late 30s, and you don't also have a big income, you're really behind the eight ball. And again, I don't want you finding that out later. I'm just going to give you those warnings ahead of time. And again, I mean, whether you want to do it or, whether you should do it or shouldn't do it, I don't know. But in terms of if you want to settle down, because you've been in the dating market, you know, mid-teens, you've been in the dating market for, you know, 13 years or something like that, and you haven't settled down, and then you burned up a year and change ago with a woman where the odds of it working out were pretty low. And, I mean, you're going to have to recognize that you're probably just going to be able to have flings or affairs or relatively short-term relationships until such time as you can actually provide for a family. And that's going to be tough. So
sure,
there's a lot of costs to pursue design, which may not even pay off if AI continues to advance. So again, I don't know whether you should or shouldn't, but I'm just telling you that, you know, this is the conversation I had with a friend of mine's work colleague who was coming to visit, who was telling me, oh, you're in acting school. Hey, my brother was in acting school. He's in his mid-30s, and he's getting just enough work to get by. He's got a commercial here or there, but, you know, he's writing his own one-man show, and he's going to try and take it off Broadway. But, you know, he's kind of panicking because he wants to settle down and have kids. But all he can do is act. He doesn't have any other skills, and the acting isn't enough to support a family, and he doesn't know whether to continue or start over. And that's, you know, that goosed me enough that, you know, they say to actors, like, if you can do anything else and be happy, you should do that other thing and be happy. Because only if you can't do anything else and be happy should you try and be an actor, because 99% of the money goes to, like, 1% of the people. And the odds of being that 1%, you'd probably find out pretty quickly. And but then, of course, you hear all these stories of the actors who, you know, 10 years, they're like J.K. Simmons was an actor who played the head editor in the Spider-Man movies. And he was like in his late 30s, early 40s before he started getting any real roles. So, you know, those kinds of people can kind of mess with the numbers quite a bit. You know, you can hear about the people who didn't save for retirement, but they win the lottery when they're 65 on their birthday. And it's like, yeah, but probably not a great plan for everyone. So, yeah, just be aware. Like, you've got to look at the full spectrum of costs and benefits for what it is that you plan to do. And that's what I'm sort of trying to give you a bit of a hot air balloon ride over the future. And so you can make your decision from a more informed standpoint, if that makes sense.
Definitely.
All right, brother. Well, listen, I hope it works out, and keep me posted. And thanks so much for the call today.
Thank you so much, Stefan. Appreciate it.